Okie dokie. Hello. Hi. How are ya? Been a couple of weeks. Glad to have you back. Glad to be back. Gosh, we've done 30 episodes, haven't we? Look at us. Look at us. Okay. I am going to set the scene. I am in my little blanket cave of my own making at home, where I record 90% of my episodes. You meet me actually on the anniversary of the first time I ever went on a West End stage to perform, which is fun. Something I only just realised literally 30 seconds before I hit record. So that's nice, the 12th of February. And yeah, I'm ready to get into it. The present moment, the outtakes, all of the above. All that good stuff. Let's do it. This is In the Room with Adele James. And here is the unfiltered version of my story. The present moment. How is the present moment for me? Actually, the present moment is really quite nice. I think I had maybe a bit of a false start to the year a few weeks ago. And I was saying, you know, I really feel ready. Not that I don't feel ready, but I also feel like I want a bit more hibernation time. And so I'm just enjoying that at the moment, really. February is the shortest month of the year. So it's the perfect one to pick to just hide, to just hide away out in. Did that make sense? Anyway, so that's what I'm doing. I'm hiding also because I'm kind of still ill, to be honest. It's just, I'm not ill, but I'm also not like 100% recovered. And so I'm just taking the time that my body clearly needs to just really regenerate. Anyway, so I am hiding out for the month of February, just working on the things that I need to work on. Actually, I'm spending a lot more time delving back into like the origins of the acting technique that I have been training in for the last few years, which would be the method, and going back to class and coaching people as well, and just filling my cup. I think just at the moment, just really enjoying that, because come March, I'm really trying to be outside again. Like, I want to go do things. I want to be in good health. I want to hopefully have booked a job. Like, I want to be out here. But right now, I think I'm ready for 2023 not to start quite just yet. I'm enjoying continuing this slow pace of things. But yeah, I'm good. I feel good. So that's good. How do you feel? How's your present moment? What's going on for you? Is it busy? Is it quiet like me? Check in with yourself. What's going on? All right, to the outtakes. Before we get too into it, I just want to talk to you very quickly about our sponsor, London Nootropics. If you've been here for a while, you will know that London Nootropics make adaptogenic coffee blends that are designed to help you stay balanced and flow through your day. They give you all the benefits of regular coffee whilst minimizing side effects such as jitters, anxiety, and crashing, which, again, you'll know I suffer from to no extent with regular coffee. I first discovered the founders Shez and Zane talking about their coffee blends on Dragon's Den, where they snapped up the investment of Green Queen Deborah Meaden. But I fell in love with their coffee through the research that I did on the high quality medicinal mushrooms and other adaptogens that they use in their blends. And then through the year now that I have been drinking them, having reaped all the long-term benefits of the mushrooms and the adaptogens as well, like improved cognitive function. They have three blends specifically: Flow for mental clarity and focus, Zen to alleviate stress and anxiety, and Mojo for a natural boost. Now, I know a lot of busy people, actors and non-actors alike, much like yourself, and everyone I've recommended this coffee to, have sampled it to, has not only enjoyed the deliciously smooth taste of it — it does not taste like mushrooms, I can assure you — but they've also enjoyed the magic of having a cup of coffee without the side effects as well. You can find your flow and be your best self too with London Nootropics Adaptogenic Coffee, and you can do so with 15% off of any order and all orders using the voucher code ADELEJ, that's ADELEJ, on londonnootropics.com. That is London, NOOTROPICS.com. So the first one is, I watched this video the other day that I thought was really on the mark, actually, for the most part, which was talking about how we as actors need to fill our own tank. And I'm sure this doesn't only apply to actors, obviously,
but I will make it actor specific anyway, as the video was actor specific. So we as actors need to fill our own cup. We need to fill our own tank in order to be able to be successful. It's not possible to be a successful actor and to be unhappy. That was how the video was captioned. That's kind of the main crux of what was being said. It's not possible to be miserable and bitter about the industry and also be successful within it, which I agree with to a very large degree. I think if you believe that the industry owes you something, you end up resenting the industry when it's not giving you those things. That's another point that was made that I very much agree with. It's not about biting the hand that feeds you, but if you resent the industry for not being exactly what you want it to be. I mean, I'm not saying that we have to just accept everything that it is right now, because we have the ability to change things through our work and through, you know, what we notice that is there to be changed, that we have the power to change. But by and large, you know, I haven't had a job since I came off of The Importance of Being Earnest. Before that, I didn't work for a few months after I was in Morocco for 5 weeks. And before that, I didn't work for 10 months after Casualty. And there were times when I was very resentful of the industry. I don't understand why I can't move forward. I've done such and such. I want to be working, you know, and on the story goes. But it's not possible to be successful from that place. It's just not. Like, if I had have actually booked a job in the times when I was feeling that way, firstly, I would have had a very unhealthy attachment to the job that I then booked, but also I wouldn't have had the energy reserves and the capacity to do what was required of me in those jobs, because I would have spent all of my energy on being bitter and resentful of the industry. And it's just not conducive, I think, to being able to survive in the long term, for sure. Like, maybe you can do that in the short term, but in the long term, you really can't. And I say that from experience. Like, I say that from having been in those places and not being in those places anymore. As I said, I haven't worked since November. It's now February. You know, things are going all right. Mostly I've been using this as time to fill my own cup, to look after myself, to nourish myself, to go back to training, to, you know, really just think about what I want from my whole life, as well as from my career. Those things are occupying my brain space, not why am I not working? You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I thought the video was really great. It's on the BGB Studio Instagram if you want to watch it. But what I would also say is that you don't owe anyone anything either in the industry. And I think that that's a really important conversation that needs to be had. Like, the industry owes you nothing, but you also owe no one anything. You don't need to go into things on the back foot. You don't need to overextend yourself in order to be valuable or worthy or even desirable in this industry. Like, that's not required of you. It's not necessary, and it's not conducive to a healthy and long running career, I don't think. I think that's a really good way to burn out. It's a really good way to burn out. It's not going to pay off for you in the way that you might perhaps hope, you know, just being available beyond your boundaries. It's okay to respect yourself in the process of building a career in this industry. It's really important to respect yourself. And I mean that even in the most minute of things, you know, you can't be expected to do more than what you can do. And I think respecting yourself is about knowing what your limits are, what your boundaries are, what's within your capability to do right now. That might change. That will change as you move forward and as you grow and as, you know, life happens to us all. But like, where are you right now? Give from where you can give. The rest will come. I hope this is making sense. I feel like maybe I'm just rambling, but I really liked the video and it kind of spurred me on to think about not only what we expect from the industry, but also what the industry, quote unquote, might expect from us and how we can navigate that from a mindset point of view. You don't owe anyone anything. We are the instrument and the player, I suppose. You know, we are the vessel through which the work happens, but we're also the person who has to then go home and cook dinner and, I don't know, maybe look after the kids if you've got kids, or perhaps, I mean, who knows? Like, I think it's just really important to know, to just remind yourself to have that kind of healthy outlook, the healthiest outlook possible. The most important thing is that you are okay in your physical health, in your emotional and mental health. So yeah, just look after number one. Be realistic with yourself. Like, just know, what am I capable of? If I was to get 5 auditions this week, would I be able to do 5 auditions this week? Maybe I can be grateful for the fact that things are a bit quieter at the moment. Like, things are quite quiet for me at the moment, and I'm really, and that's great for me because I'm still, my body is still really, really recovering. So if I was inundated with 7 auditions a week, I would really be struggling. Not that I've ever received 7 auditions in 1 week. I don't know anyone who has. So if you're out there, you're amazing, because I can't even comprehend how I would do that. But yeah, for me right now, 1 audition a week is more than enough because I don't have the capacity, the energy levels to honestly be able to really give myself the way that I like to be able to give myself in an audition situation to more than that. Hopefully something in that resonated with you. And if nothing else, just write it down somewhere. The industry owes me nothing, but I also owe the industry nothing. Nothing but the best that I can give, at the very least. Oh, my love, before we go on, I just wanted to ask very quickly if you might be able to hit the like button, the subscribe button, the follow button, the rate button, whatever the platform allows for. 5 stars would be so awesome and a cheeky review, but whatever you think is fair is great too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sorry to kill the vibe. Okay, number 2. I went to watch my little sister's school play the other day. She wasn't in it. She asked me if she could go and see it with me because her friends were in it. And obviously it's in the evening and everything. So I went with her and we watched these teenagers sing Grease. And you know what? It was so fun. It was so fun. And I really enjoyed the experience of being there because actually it reminded me of being at school and doing school plays myself. My sister even went to the school that I went to, so they were on the stage that I would have performed on. And yeah, it was just such a wonderful experience watching these young people, some of them probably for the first time, realize how much they love performing, being on stage, telling stories, sharing experience in that way, connecting with people in that way, expressing themselves. Amazing to see. To see the potential that somebody has at that young age is so exciting. But also, I think definitely the fact that I felt so transported in a way back to being, you know, the boxer in Bugsy Malone with my friends when I was, I don't know, 13. And then playing Mrs. Casper, the understudy of Mrs. Casper in Kez, which was the show that my mum saw when she told me that she thought we'd found my calling, which was pretty much my main impetus for giving it a go at, like, professionally speaking. Yeah, it just took me back to those places and it just reminded me of why I love acting, why I love being a performer, why I love being an actor. Because, you know, over time, the admin and the bureaucracy and the politics and all the other stuff that comes with building a career, it can dampen that kind of, like, that innocent, almost childlike wonder that is acting, that is all encompassing when it comes to acting. And it was just so nice to be in the presence of that in such a big way. It was really, I just really enjoyed it. Bop, bop, Burnwood School. But more than that, no, I really do think there's something about trying to recapture that innocent joy, wonder, excitement, fear of the craft itself. And honestly, the only place I know where I can do that is in a classroom setting. And so I went back to class pretty much straight away. I went back to class and I've, you know, just immediately started putting myself out there because I don't know any other way to capture that pure thrill and joy of performing than that. You know, as a person who's now an adult with all the other stuff, with all the taxes and the emails and getting the showreel together and finding the right headshot photographer and all the stuff, you know, the conversations with my agent. Not that I don't like doing those things, but, you know, it's just not the same as being up on stage and performing. you know, or being in a classroom setting, trying things out, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. It's not the same. So yeah, I've gone back to class because it's the only place I can feel alive. I think is what I'm trying to say. And I love it. I think it's the best decision that I could have made at this time, especially while I'm recovering. It's made me feel like I am doing something for myself and that fills my cup creatively. And I really recommend it. Just if somebody is looking for a way to relight my fire. If someone is looking for a way to get back to what they really love at the core of acting, I recommend going to a class. Find a class, find a workshop, find somewhere where you can go and do practical work. You can get up in front of people that you don't know and do something. Walk across the fire and know that you will survive, you know? I think that's what we need to be doing in the downtime, isn't it? That's what we need to be doing, is keeping on our toes, keeping in contact with the fear of, but also the thrill of performance. Thank you to the girls at Burntwood School for inspiring me to do that. So for Making Our Way this week, I want to talk about something that I think a lot of us do. And so I kind of just want to call it out just in case it's something that you are doing. And that is just worrying about things before you've even actioned them. So it's about anxiety, I suppose. Really, it's specifically to do with stopping yourself from taking action because of narratives that you're telling yourself about what will happen or what is likely to happen. Because frankly, we don't know. You know? So the example that I will give is, I was talking to somebody, a client, about they want to start applying for work. They've never done a professional job before, so they want to start applying for work, and they wanted to know how many jobs they should be aiming for a month, how many jobs and auditions they should be aiming to get a month. And I said, well, firstly, that's impossible to say. I think you should just be aiming to put yourself out as much as possible. But it's impossible to say because there are so many things that go into how many jobs you could audition for and therefore could book. And a lot of that's got to do with what's being made, you know, what's out there for you to even apply for in the first place. But at this point, you know, if you don't have any experience, just apply for everything that you think within reason you could do and see what comes back. And that then led on to a conversation about, well, what happens if I get so many offers that I can't manage to do everything? And I said, well, let's think about that sentence for a moment. Let's take a step back. If someone is getting so many offers that they can't do all of those jobs, then they're in a pretty good position because that means that they're really in high demand. It also means that they've got a choice on their hands. They can choose which of these projects means the most to me, which of these is the best career move, which of the, you know, they've got a choice. But so many things happen before that. And the first thing is applying for work. You're never going to get to that stage unless you start applying for work, you know? And so to know that there are so many stages before that, you've got to apply for the work, then people have got to receive that application, decide whether or not you're okay, maybe put you on a shortlist, let you know about that, so you know you're on the shortlist now, invite you for an audition or a self-tape, you do that tape, maybe you get a recall, you go do the recall, then maybe you book the job. There's a lot of steps, actually, before getting an offer. And if you're already worrying about the offer part, it's going to put you off of doing the first step, which is applying for the job in the first place. And I think the only thing you really need to be worried about right now is getting your face out there, getting your work out there and saying, I'm ready for work. You know, would you be interested in having me on your team? I think a lot of the time we can get kind of a bit bogged down in the result of something to the point that it will naturally impact the intention with which we move towards that thing, you know? If I fear the result is going to be too much, I will do less in the first instance. And therefore, I kind of reduce my chances, do I not? If this is a numbers game, which is what some people like to believe acting is, certainly in the beginning, if it is a numbers game of just putting yourself out there as much as possible and seeing what comes back, then am I not doing it myself a disservice? For example, around, you know, getting work by not applying for absolutely everything that I think I might be right for, just in case. I end up with too many offers. Well, if that happens, you deal with it when it happens, you know? But our anxiety of things can so often influence the energy with which we move forward. And I think you really just got to break things down for yourself. Is there anything at the moment that you're kind of thinking about, worrying about the result of? And how can you maybe just take a big step back from that and say, okay, what are the steps that would lead to that result? Where am I now? So what are the steps that are going to lead towards that? And can I just say to myself, you know what, if that happens, I'll deal with that as and when. But for now, all I really need to worry about is this part. And then we'll see what comes. Because I don't even know if this part is going to return anything. I don't know what the result of this first stage is. So do I really need to be worrying about the end result? Probably not. That we will deal with when we get to it. There might be something that happens along the way even that makes it very apparent that that end result will never be a possibility, or is definitely going to be a possibility. In which case, then maybe partway through, I can start to think about that a little bit more and make some informed decisions to kind of self-preserve, to protect myself, to prepare myself. But right now, all I need to worry about is what I need to do first. And then we take it one step at a time. I hope that made sense. I hope that was helpful. If you would like to contribute to a future Making Our Way segment, please just email itrpod@stepintotheroom.co.uk. That is itrpod@stepintotheroom.co.uk. Thank you. All right, so my self-care intention. I am hibernating. That's my self-care intention. I'm only going out when I need to get my groceries, to go for walks, and really that's it. See family, you know. I'm going to class, I'm reading books on acting, I'm reading plays, I'm thinking about my literary projects. I'm just taking this time by myself, for myself. And in March, we are going to be out here. But yeah, I'm taking this time to recover properly, fully, rather than doing this yo-yo of health back and forth, where I'm not recovering properly. This time, I just want to be 100% back to full health, and then we go on, we go on. What about you? What's your self-care intention? How are you looking after yourself? What's happening in your world, and how can you carve out a bit of love just for you in all of that? And that's it. Thank you so much. Always, always I thank you. Because really, it's so generous of you to devote your time, this little window of time, just to listening to me. And I'm really grateful for that. So thank you. I hope you have a really lovely week. I hope it's whatever you want it to be. And I really do hope that you get whatever it is that you need this week to be able to truly, truly, truly know and believe that you don't owe the industry anything, but also to accept that it doesn't owe you anything either. Okay, so I will meet you here again soon. I want to say next week, but honestly, at this point, I feel like it's better to give you an episode when I have something to say. The last thing I want is for this to become really repetitive. And the good thing about making something on my own for myself, fundamentally, is that I guess the format and the style of it and everything can really just be dictated by what I think is useful and necessary. And of course, if you have any feedback, then please do share. But hopefully it'll be next week, but possibly it won't be. Also, it depends largely on my health and work and everything. So yeah, I will speak to you soon. That I will say. We will speak again soon. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Mwah. Speak to you soon.